yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Yesterday the Lord gave me a message as I was looking into the word of God to bring you a word in season. Say a word in season. Something that I believe will lift you up, will challenge you and will encourage you and will give you understanding. Say understanding. I believe that God has something good in store for you. The title of my message is Encounter in Mid-Sea. Mid-Sea Encounter. Turn to somebody and say Mid-Sea Encounter. Mid-Sea simply means the middle of the sea. Say Mid-Sea Encounter. Turn to somebody and say, why Mid-Sea? Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me if you please. Say I please. To Matthew chapter 14. Reading from verse number 21 down. The Bible said. Thank you, Pastor Leslie. And after that they had eaten. He talked about the fact that they were about 5,000 men beside women and children. I want you to look at me. We take it step at a time. Here the Bible talks about 5,000 men beside women and children that were fed by loaves of bread and two fishes by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you and I know, for every gathering and for every place that you find people gathered on planet Earth, women always outnumber the men. Is that correct? And the Bible said here that there were 5,000 men that were fed beside women and children. Now, if the men were 5,000, then logically, if you permit me, this is my own calculation, I may say that then the women could be 10,000. And then it talks about children. Now, if you have 10,000 to 5,000, you have 15,000. And let's say settle the children for another 5,000. You have about 20 or 25,000 people who are fed. Hallelujah. And after that, they have been fed by Jesus. And they had enough to eat. Look at verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained, say constrained. The Bible says his disciples to enter into a boat and to go before him to the other side while he sent away the multitude. Look at me. He sent away the multitudes or the crowd and kept the disciples. He restrained the disciples or he constrained them. He said, disciples, you will not go with the multitudes. You stay behind. And let the multitudes go away. The Bible said he what? He sent away the multitudes. Never let God send you away from his house. Don't come to God with a motive that will make God send you away when it is time for disciples to be used. Why did he send the multitudes away? Because they did not come for God. They came for bread and for fish. And they had enough of bread and fish. And Jesus said, because they came for bread and fish, and they have had bread and fish, they will not stay for anything else, because that is what they came for. So send them away. And he constrained the disciples and said, ye are disciples, disciplined ones. You are under training, and you will not go with the multitude. You stay behind. There is a divine appointment for you. I have something on my mind for you, and I don't want you to miss it. So don't go away with the crowd. You stay behind. And he didn't just ask them to stay. He said, you stay behind and you enter the boat and go before me. Meet me on the other side. Somebody say, other side. Now, why did he send the multitudes away and constrain the disciples? Because you see, multitudes come to take, but disciples come to give. Multitudes come to observe, but disciples come to get involved. Multitudes give offering, but disciples give offering and pay tithe. Multitudes come without a sense of responsibility, but disciples come with a sense of commitment and responsibility. After closing prayer today, you realize that everybody leaves this auditorium, but the disciples remain. People came for first service, they've gone home, and there are still disciples here, apart from the pastors. there are certain people here. They are disciples, the organists, the choir, the ushers, the volunteer workers, and others. They are still here, but others have gone. So when, at the end of the day, you realize that disciples are always around when God needs someone to depend and to count on, but multitudes are always sent away. Today I want to ask you, are you a multitude or a disciple? If answer, are you a multitude or a disciple? Then you are in trouble. Are you hearing me? Because disciples are tried. Say, mitzvah. Encounter. Jesus knew that the multitude cannot withstand mitzvah encounter, so he sent them away. He said, you came for fish and bread. But those who came for business, those who mean business with God, I want them to stay. Now, the Bible said, Jesus said to them, get into a boat and cross to the other side and meet me at the other side. Now, look at verse 23. And when he had sent away the disciples, again, verse 22 talk about, the last part of 22 talk about, and when he had sent away the multitudes. Here again, the Bible said, and when he had sent away the multitudes. So multitudes are always sent away. They don't have any commitment in the church. They don't belong to anything. They are there when everything is good. When trial comes, you don't see them. They are multitudes. But disciples hang around in storm. In good time and in bad time, disciples are always around. And he sent away the multitude and went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Hallelujah. Look at me. Disciples were asked, go back home. Multitudes were told, go back home. Disciples, go forward. Jesus went up. Are you hearing me? Multitudes do what? Go back home. Disciples do what? Go forward. Jesus went where? Up to the mountain to pray. If you are disciples, you are always backwards. A multitude. If you are a multitude, you are always sent back home. But disciples go forward. Are you hearing me? And the man of God goes to the top of the mountain to seek God and to hear from God. The Bible said that Jesus went up to a mountain to pray. Why did he go up to the mountain to pray? Because I believe that he perceived that trial was going to come. He knew that storm and a wind contrary was going to hit the disciples in mid-sea. So he went up to the top of the mountain and began to intercede for them. Amen. He was monitoring them. But listen carefully. Here Jesus is no more on a mountain top. He's at the right hand of the Father. When he rose from the dead, he sent us to go and preach the gospel to everywhere he did not go. And he couldn't go because he was one man. And he ascended on high to the right hand of the Father. And the Bible said he ever lived to do what? Make intercession for us. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is praying for you. Do you know why he's on the right hand of the Father? Do you know why? Because of you. Turn to somebody and say, he's there for you. He's praying for you. Say, Jesus is praying for you. Everything was going to be all right. Because Jesus is praying for you. Are you hearing me? So the Bible said he was up there and he could see his disciples on the top of the mountain. Look at verse 24. But the ship was in mid-sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I want you to look at me. Every one of us has a dream. How many of you have a dream? You have a vision and a goal in life. Let me see your hand. You have a dream. You have a future. You have a career. You have a goal. Some of you, your career, your dream, and your vision is in mid-sea. Your marriage is in mid-sea. Your dream is in mid-sea. Your vision is in mid-sea. And everything you've ever believed God and worked for is in mid-sea. Are you hearing me? But turn to somebody and say, why mid-sea? Because you see, the devil will not hit you at the shore. Because he knows if he hits you at the shore, you can decide to go back. Onyame, my surrender. Are you hearing me?
And he knows when he hits you at shore, you won't sink.
Are you hearing me?
You can't sink. Your boat can't sink. There is no depth at the shore to sink you. So that is not the place for him to hit you. He hits you at mid-sea. And the reason why he hits you at mid-sea is because, you see, when you get to mid-sea, you don't see where you came from, your back. Neither can you see ahead of you where you are going. So you are caught in between the past and the future.
Shout hallelujah.
Are you hearing me? And when you are at mid-sea, it takes the same energy. The same energy that it takes to go back to where you came from is the same energy that it takes to go forward when you are in mid-sea. Are you hearing me? And so for the devil to hit you at mid-sea, he hits you for a few reasons. Number one reason, to sink you. Number two, to confuse you. You know why you get confused? Because the Bible said the ship or the boat was tossed by what? Waves. And the wind was what? Contrary. That means the wind was not favoring them at all. It was hitting them on every side. And the boat was troubled. And everything within the boat was troubled. The waters were rough. But Jesus was on the mountain praying. Are you hearing me? Thank God for a God who sees us from where he is. And it doesn't matter where you are. He can see you with his eyes from where he is. Are you hearing me? Thank God that we have a Lord and a King and a Master that ever lives to intercede for us. And it doesn't matter where the devil fixes you in life. He can see you from there. Are you hearing me? Come on, give a clap offering to Jesus. Amen. Mid-sea. Because you see, mid-sea is a very important place. Because after mid-sea, the next destination is the shore. You arrive at where you are going. And I was telling the first service that the devil never comes against anybody who is not going anywhere. If you are just at the shore and you are not doing anything and you are not going anywhere, the devil doesn't bother about you. But as soon as you make up your mind to go somewhere for God or to do something for God and you begin to journey, you will get to meet sea. And Satan will visit you by employing the forces of nature against you at meet sea. Are you hearing me? Meet sea is when you have begun something. And you are almost getting to where you must get to. The vision is now clear. You now understand and know what God is calling you to do. And you are on course. And you are reaching the goal and the target. And suddenly the enemy hits you. And throws confusion in your mind. And he begins to hit the boat with storms. Churches can represent a boat. Your marriage can represent a boat. Your business can represent a boat. Your finances, your desires, your goals and things you have wished and desired for and worked towards. A friend comes around and says, hey, there is this good business deal. And you go to the bank. It happened to a few people in the church here. And the only property and building you have, you go and put it down as collateral and you take $20 million CDs and you go and invest it in something you haven't proven because you trust and believe a friend. And later you got to know that it wasn't a genuine deal and you lost the $20 million and the bank says, well, come and pay the money. And interest is building up. And they say, if you don't pay, we'll sell your house. You have nowhere to take your wife and your kids and children to. And nowhere to go to. That is all that you have. Mid-sea. Are you hearing me? Mid-sea is when you can't see your back where you came from. And you can't see ahead of you where you are going. And you have no rest where you are at mid-sea in your boat to make a decision. The waves are hitting you, and the wind is blowing on every side, and the boat can't hold together, and everything is falling apart.
Mid-sea. Say mid-sea encounter.
Say, why mid-sea?
The devil wants to stop you. Turn to somebody and say, he wants to stop you.
You know why he wants to stop you? He does not want you to get to where you are going to. So he intercepts your journey in mid-sea. And all he's telling you is, go back.
Are you hearing me?
Go back. And our attitude is that go back where?
Are you hearing me?
Where do we go back to? And what do we go back to? Paul said we are hard pressed or trouble on every side.
That is mid-sea, but not distressed.
He said we are perplexed, but not in despair. We are cast down, but not destroyed. We are persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah.
So you must understand that every one of us, there is a time in our life that in order for us to get to where God wants us to get to, there must be a mid-sea encounter. And God doesn't tell us the shape or the form that the encounter will take. Because if he tells you,
praise God. Hallelujah. You may pray certain prayers. Are you hearing me? And dodge certain moves of God.
But God does not tell you. When he told them, get into the boat, meet me on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, he did not tell them that there will be an encounter at mid-sea. He just said, meet me at the other side, and he went to pray. And if you look at Mark chapter 4, the same thing happened when he told them, let's go to the other side. And this time the Bible said he was with them in the boat, but went to sleep. And the storm hit them. And the wind, the Bible said, was contrary, like in Matthew. And the Bible said he was asleep. He was asleep. And the disciples cried out for fear and said, Master, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And Jesus stood up and said, peace be still.
Are you hearing me?
And the Bible said, after that, they arrived at shore. That means they were in deep sea, mid-sea. They were close to shore, and the devil didn't want them to arrive there because something was going to happen at the arrival. And so the enemy had to do everything to stop them from getting there. Are you hearing me? But Jesus was in the boat. But the fact that Jesus was in the boat did not prevent the storm from coming. It came. Because the devil is not the respecter of any person. It doesn't matter how righteous and how correct you are. The devil is no respecter of any person. Even though Jesus was in the boat, the storm came. The trials came. And the disciple had to cry out, Lord, do something. And the master stood up and said, peace be still. And rebuked the wind. And the Bible said there was a great calm. Mid-sea experience. Mid-sea encounter. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, this is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I want you to look at me. The Bible said, in about 3 a.m., I believe that the doctors have said that the easiest and quickest time to die, if you want to die, is between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning. Because at that time, your breath, your nerves, and everything is low. And you can die very quick. And the Bible said at 3 a.m., Jesus went unto them. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter where you are in life. And where God, and what God is taking you through. And what the devil is doing to that process that God is taking you through. Jesus can come unto you where you are. He comes at an hour and a time when everybody is sleeping and slumbering. Are you hearing me? When your best friend who can come to your aid is sleeping, That is the time Jesus, are you hearing me? That is the time he wakes up and he ceases and stops praying and he decides to come to where you are to meet you. The Bible said that when it was about 3 a.m., Jesus went to them and began to walk on the sea. When Jesus arrived at shore, he saw them right on the top of the mountain that they were in trouble. And he decided, I am going to them because they cannot reach me where I am. So I will go to them. Listen, I have come to believe this thing by experience. That it doesn't matter where you are in life. When every human resources is exhausted, and when you find yourself in a situation that no man can help you, and no man can come to your aid, and you are alone, and it looks like all hope is gone and it's finished, that is the best time for God to visit you. Are you hearing me? When you are pressed to the wall and there is no way out, that is the time God comes. Are you hearing me? Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is coming to you. Turn to somebody else and say, the next visitor you shall have is the Lord Jesus himself. So expect Jesus. Expect Jesus. You see, that was a surprise. And the Bible said when the disciples saw him, they cried out for fear and said, hey, this is a spirit. And the Bible says straightway, he responded and said, fear ye not, it is I. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in, we serve a God who can reach you. We serve a God who can come to you, and nothing can stop him from coming to us. It doesn't matter where we are. You might be in a prison. You might be in the grave like Lazarus. He can still come to you. Are you hearing me? He comes at the darkest hour. He comes when all hope is gone. And if you are in a situation where all hope is gone, then you are in the right position. You are in a very strategic place and position. Your next visitor shall be Jesus himself. Expect him. He's coming. Are you hearing me? And the Bible said when he arrived at shore, there was no boat at shore. And he placed his feet on the water. And immediately God, by a miraculous intervention, created a concrete way and street on the water. And he began to walk on the sea. Are you hearing me? Ladies and gentlemen, it is exciting to know that the thing you are afraid of and the thing that wants to destroy you, the Lord you serve can walk on it. Are you hearing me? Here is the disciples afraid and troubled, and Jesus coming walking on the thing that wants to destroy them. Are you hearing me? The thing that wants to destroy you is under his feet. Are you hearing me? It's his footstool, and we are in him, and therefore they have become our footstool. Are you hearing me? The thing that wants to destroy you is under your feet. Are you hearing me? Jesus came walking on the water. Ah! And these people said, what is going on? We haven't seen this before. Everybody say, surprise. Everybody say, surprise. God is going to surprise you. Turn to somebody and say, God is going to surprise you. Say, he will surprise you by turning your captivity around. And do for you what no man can do. Say, God will surprise you by turning things around to favor you. And men will be surprised at the doings of God. Shout hallelujah. Amen. Jesus began to walk on the sea. And then Peter saw him and he said, Lord, this one, if it is you, let me come to you on the water. Look at it. He's there. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he began to walk on the water to go to who? Look at verse 30. But when he saw Jesus, is that what he says? But when he saw what? The wind what? Boisterous. He was what? Afraid and began to sink and cried out saying, Lord, save me.
Listen, Pastor Steve, I need you on the stage here. Hallelujah. Let me have Brother John come. This is Jesus walking on the sea and standing on the sea. This is Peter in the boat. So, where is the boat? Pastor, sit here. Remove your shoe. Stand on the boat. Look at Jesus. He's walking on the sea. He's standing on the sea. I am the wind. Face Jesus. Say, fear not, it is I. Say, Lord, if it is you, then let me come to you on the water. Tell him to come. Step down from the boat on the water. Begin to walk towards him, but be looking at me. And begin to sing. Hallelujah. Now, who told Peter to come?
Jesus.
Who was he supposed to go to?
Jesus.
Who was he supposed to look up to?
Jesus.
What did he see? If he saw the wind, then what was he looking at? God bless you. Are you getting me? Mid-sea encounter, one of the things we encounter at mid-sea is distraction. The devil wants to distract you, and he wants to take away your dream, your vision, your sight, and your eyes from you, so that you will not see, and you will lose the sense of direction, and you won't know where you are going again. He wants you to sing. And when you are in mid-sea, and you remove your eyes from your call, from your goal, from your mission, from the word, Jesus is what? The word. Are you hearing me? Everybody say, Jesus is the word. When you find yourself in mid-sea, that is the time to keep your eyes in the word. That is not the time to remove your eyes from the word and look at the storms or the wind. If you look at the wind, you will sink. If you look at the things around you, you will sink. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our word, faith. He utters our faith. He's the sustainer of our faith. And he's the perfecter of our faith. Are you hearing me? When we begin with Jesus, we must end with Jesus. When we begin in faith, we must continue in faith until we reach our destination, until we reach where we must get to. Are you hearing me? And the Bible said, Peter said, Lord, if it is you, let me come. Jesus said, come. He stepped out of the boat. Peter began to walk on the sea. And the Bible said, he saw the wind. That meant that he was looking at the wind. Listen, church, it doesn't matter what we hear and what we see. Let's keep our eyes in the word, because the word is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. The Bible said, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. The only true report is this book. The Bible said, who has believed our report, and unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Jesus said, Holy Father, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Are you hearing me? This is the only truth. All other truth, all other ground is sinking sand. Keep your eyes in this book. Are you hearing me? Don't remove your eyes from this book. When you remove your eyes from this book, offenses will hit you. When you remove your eyes from the word, you begin to sink in anger.
you begin to sink in bitterness. You begin to sink in unforgiveness. You can't walk in the love of God. You can't walk in forgiveness. You begin to point finger. You begin to blame people. You begin to attack people. You begin to say that is the person and that is the person who has brought us trouble. But when you keep your eyes in the word and you begin to walk in the word, you walk in love and you can love. You can love. You can walk in forgiveness. You can love and you can see somebody who has hurt you and you can love the person and you can feel love and forgiveness reaching out from your heart to the present. But when you remove your eyes from the world, you begin to seek for vengeance. You begin to retaliate. You begin to find ways of means to prove something. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Come on, give a clap offering to Jesus. Don't look at the wind, because if you look at the wind in mid-sea, you'll be gone. And the reason why the wind comes in mid-sea is because the enemy wants to distract you. And listen, if you give the devil attention, he will give you direction. If you give the devil attention, he will give you direction. The devil wants to give us direction. He wants to give you direction. He wants to change your priorities. He wants you to begin to be working and doing something else than what God has called you to do. And the only way he can get you is when you give him attention. Don't give him attention. Are you hearing me? Turn to somebody and say, don't give the devil attention. When you give him attention, he will give you direction. That is what he wants. He wants your attention. And the way he gets your attention is to send storm and wind in mid-sea. Because you see, he knows you are going somewhere. And he knows that if he does not interfere with the process through which God has set out your greatness, and whatever he wants you to go through, that there is a process you have to go through to get there. The devil's strategy is to meet you at mid-sea. Wait, whilst everything is all right. We are into a building project now. This is the right time for the enemy to hit. Hello? You see, we got to be spiritual. Turn to somebody and say, we need spiritual sense. When the enemy hits physically, take him into the spirit. Because when you begin to fight him in the flesh, you won't win. Because the weapons of our warfare are weak through the flesh. Eh? No. If he says they are mighty through God, then they are weak through the flesh. Because the Bible said the arm of flesh will fail you. Are you getting the revelation? So when you fight in the flesh, you lose. So where do you win the battle? In the spirit. Are you hearing me? So let's be spiritual. Let's have some spiritual common sense and not give the devil attention because he wants to give us direction. Are you getting me? He got Peter. Peter was doing fine. Say, Peter was doing fine. Do it my way. Peter was doing fine. Are you hearing me? What went wrong? Satan got his attention and he gave him direction. And you know what happened? Listen, he saw the wind, and not that only, but after seeing the wind became what? Boisterous. And Satan gave him direction. Fear. That is the direction he wants to give you. That is it. He wants to put fear in you so that you will not be able to see where you are going. And surrender. Are you hearing me? He wants you to surrender so he can stop you from getting to where you are going. And it doesn't matter where your marriage is now. Your marriage may be in mid-sea. Don't give up on your husband. And husband, don't give up on your wife. And listen, don't give the devil attention, because he will give you direction. And the direction he will give you is to go for another woman and leave your woman, or go for another man and leave your man. Whatever direction Satan gives you contradicts the word of God. the direction he wants to give you is to do something that will go against God's word. He wants you to listen to the counsels and to the sayings of men instead of listening to the word come, the man who gave the word. Instead of listening to the one that called you. Instead of listening to the one that have the power over the forces of nature. Jesus said, come. And all Peter had to do was to walk on that word and look up to the man that gave the word and go to the man. What is distracting you today? Turn to somebody and say, what seest thou? Turn to somebody else and say, what are you seeing? Say it my way. What are you seeing? Remove your eyes from it. You know, some of us, we go searching for wind. Tomorrow morning, a lot of you will go searching for wind. What do you want the wind for? Don't look at it. Are you hearing me? Look at who? How do you see him? So many of us, you don't have time to read the word, but you have time to look at wind and to read wind instead of reading the word. When you wake up tomorrow morning, search for the word, not wind. Because the wind is coming to distract you. And if you look at the wind, you will walk. Sink. You will sink in faith. You will sink in your worship. You will sink in your prayer life. You will sink in your commitment to God. You will sink in your love of God. You will sink in your study of word. You will sink in your giving. You will sink in your dedication to God. You will sink in your consecration. You will sink. And that is what the devil wants. He wants you to sink. He does not want you to get to the other side. So don't let him have your attention. Don't give it to him. Say distraction. In mid-sea. Say encounter. In mid-sea. If you can pass the test of mid-sea encounter, you will arrive at the other side. Are you hearing me? And the way you respond and handle encounter at mid-sea determines whether you will arrive at your destiny or not. Are you getting me? And there is only one way, and that way is stick to the word. Look up to who? Who for the joy that was what set before him, he had a goal. Are you hearing me? There was something ahead, and Jesus faced an encounter in mid-sea. Are you hearing me? Gethsemane, and the cross was his mid-sea. In Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. The devil hit again on the cross and said, if thou be the Son of God, prove it now. Come down from the cross. That would have been it. Everyone past here would have been gone. The world would have been blown up by this time. His mission would have failed. The devil said, you heal others. You raise others from the dead. You are a great man of God. Prove it now. Now everybody is seeing you. Prove it. Do something. Prove it now. All your tongues and your whatever, prove it. This is an opportunity. Prove it. Say, Mitzi. And Jesus said, devil, go ahead and nail the nails through my hands. Go ahead. Drive the nail through my hands. And put the crown of thorns on my head. And drive the nails through my legs. And you can break me on my side. And let blood and water gush out of me. Go ahead, make mockery of me. Go ahead and despise me. Go ahead and have me despised and rejected. Go ahead, but I shall rise again. Are you hearing me? The Bible said, oh, my enemy, when I fall, rejoice not. For I will rise again. Are you hearing me? He said, when I sit in darkness, rejoice not over me, for the Lord is a light unto me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Jesus said, go ahead. Jesus said, I have a mission. I have a mission. I am on course. I won't respond. I won't give you attention so you give me direction. There is something ahead of me, and I am on course, and I am going there. And Jesus said, after I get hold of that thing, your judgment will be sealed. Are you hearing me? And when he, after the resurrection, he declared that the prince of this world is judged. Are you hearing me? Judgment is sealed. The devil can't repent. If he had done anything on the cross, that would have been it. Are you hearing me? Say, meat seal. The Bible said he despised what? The shame. What does it mean to despise shame? To ignore it. Are you hearing me? He saw what? Everybody say shame. Chief, what's he? We are here. What does Gabi say? He has his way more. Jesus did what? He ignored it. And the Bible says he did what? He endured what? The cross. What is the cross itself? Reproach. Nakedness. Rejection. Find out the meaning of the cross. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. The Bible said he was taken like a sheep to the slaughter, and yet he opened not his mouth. He said, go ahead. I'm on a mission. Say, Mitzi. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. He said, Satan, you are not going to get my attention. I am on a mission now. Let me get to destiny. And after I have gotten to destiny, I shall rise again. And I will not touch you because you are below my dignity. I didn't even touch you in heaven when you made an attempt to overthrow the Father. It was Michael that took care of you. This time too, I will not handle you because you are below my spiritual dignity. Are you hearing me? Shout yes. He didn't do anything. Say, Mitzi. The Bible said he endured what? The cross. Why? Because of what? The joy. Everybody said, the future. He saw the future. Foresight. Say, Lord, open my eyes to see the future. You see, the problem with us is that we are short-sighted. So we can't see beyond when we are at mid-sea. And that's why when the enemy hits, we look around and we are confused. But keep your eyes on the man of Galilee. See Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, see Jesus. And everything will be all right. Are you hearing me? I find a scripture that just baffled me yesterday. I was showing it to my wife. You know, in Psalm 23, verse 4, the Bible said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear what? No evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. The Bible didn't say, yea, though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, yea, though I tarry or I fall into the valley of the shadow of death. He said, yea, though I walk through. Everybody say, walk through. Turn to somebody and say, wherever you are, whatever you are in, walk through it. Say, walk through. David said, yea, though I do what? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. You shall walk through. Turn to somebody and say, you will walk through. Say, walk through. Say, walk through. You see, the church has not yet come to understanding and maturity in Christ. When you see a brother or a sister or a believer going through trial, don't rejoice. Are you hearing me? Because yours is also coming. Hey, hey. Yours is coming. Are you hearing me? The Bible said many are the what? Afflictions of the righteous. As long as you are a believer, you are going to walk through. You have no choice. Listen, what did Jesus do to deserve what he went through? He had to go through it. It was a process he had to go through to become what he is today. Are you hearing me? And some of the process goes with shame, reproach, nakedness. And goes with situations where you can't open your mouth and say anything or defend yourself. You got to. The Bible said, turn your Bible. Turn your Bibles to Peter. Let me show you something in the book of Peter. Very interesting scripture I found. Just a minute. Let me cross check. I think it's 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want everybody to read verse 23, please. Verse 23, everybody. Read it aloud with some confidence, please. Read again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Everybody read, please. Amen. Are you hearing me? Say, walk through. There are things you might go through as a believer in life. There are processes. God has worked it out and has designed it that way that you may go through to get to where you are going. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah 43, 2. Are you there? If you are there, I want everybody to read it aloud, please. When thou pass through what? When thou pass through what? Read it again. Listen. When thou pass through water. But what? Are you sure it's in your Bible? Then read it with confidence. When thou pass through water, that is what my Bible says. Are you sure it's waters?
Yes.
No, let's look at it again. Isaiah 43 verse 2. Read it again. Are you sure? I will forsake you. I will reject you. I will give you up. I will deny you. Then why do we reject, forsake, and deny? And give up people when they pass through the waters. If passing through waters is an indication that you've missed God or you are falling out of the will of God, then what will we say about Joseph when he found himself as a slave in Egypt and ended up in Potiphar's house and then was sent into prison? Even in prison, the Bible says the Lord was with him, going to Egypt, to Potiphar's house, to prison. They were all part of the process he had to walk. Password through. Say password through. To get to where? To get to where? The palace. To become what? Prime minister. It was what? A process. That when thou passest through what? Waters. I will be what? There. You see, the church, we've heard of prosperity, faith. We've heard of certain messages. And so we are not immune to trials and to sufferings and to temptations. Are you hearing me? We are used to praise the Lord. Oh, zingo, zingo. Praise the Lord. We are used to praising God. I sing. That song, what is his name? Andrea sing. I sing because I'm happy, my friend. When the Bible talks about sacrifice of praise, that one is dry. Are you hearing me? When the words, you are calling the words and they are not coming. You are opening your mouth and it's not opening. And you are cheering yourself and it's not, you are not being chair, you are rather being depressed and oppressed. That is what we're talking about. Hello? Shout hallelujah! Say, Missy. Look at Joseph. Look at Moses. Say, Missy. Do you know Moses was at Missy? And he strike the rock when God said, speak to the rock. And God said, Moses, you are finished. He said, I will let you see the Lamb, but you will not enter. Are you hearing me? Who entered the Lamb? Joshua. Do you know Elijah did twice as much as Elijah did? But ladies and gentlemen, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Are you hearing me? Whatever Moses and Elijah had to do and they did not finish doing it. When it came to the time for Jesus to go to the cross, to bring man back to his original owner, Moses and Elijah, who did not finish their work, came from heaven with full heavenly credentials to discuss the issue of the eternity and the destiny of mankind with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It wasn't Joshua and it wasn't Elijah. It was Moses and Elijah that appeared, not Joshua, not Elijah, to tell you that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And when God gives you a position spiritually, even when you die, that position stands before God. Don't let us be fooled. Are you hearing me, church? Don't be fooled. Elisha did more than Elijah did. Moses didn't enter the promised land. It was Joshua who took them in and conquered the land. But Joshua and Elisha did not appear on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Elijah and Jesus and Moses that appeared to tell us that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Are you hearing me? And whatever God has called you to do, you will finish it. I said, I declare unto you by the prophetic word that you will finish it. It doesn't matter the storm and the wind that comes, you will reach your destiny. You will finish it. Say, Mitzi. Let's finish Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through what? The waters, I will be with thee. Go ahead. And through the river. No. You are listen. Don't let us. Let's face the truth here. When thou passest through what? The river. The what? Rivers. Some of you are singing. Eh? What? Are you sure? He will be with you when you are passing through rivers. It's too much now. Why always rivers? From waters to rivers. How can God be with us when we are passing through rivers and waters? It's an indication that God has forsaken us. He's no more with us. The glory has departed. The anointing has gone. God has abandoned us. He has given us up. There is no more anointing. People don't fall under power again. Eh? Are you sure? Let's conclude it. Go ahead. When thou walks into and stay and sit and fall into the fire. But what? Say, walk through. Say, walk through. Do it my way. Say, walk through. Shout hallelujah. He said, when thou walkest through what? The fire. Eja. La. Are you hearing me? It shall not what? Burn you, oh God. This word of God is sweet.